Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, all union members. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, all union meetings are now canceled. All union member rights to govern the union have been suspended. Stay away from the union office. Do not attempt to question elected leaders or company managers. Shut up! Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay away from the union office. Dues will be extracted from your paycheck, and you will not question where the money is going. Anyone caught discussing a strike, slowdown, sick out, picket, or meeting with union members without permission from elected leaders may be trolled online, mysteriously fired, and their grievances may be lost. Remain calm. Do not fight unfair company policies. Your union rep will be by to explain how you cannot tell the company how to treat you or maintain the best possible working conditions. Anyone caught sharing information from the union, labor law, the contract, or local bylaws without permission of the elected leaders will be humiliated. Remain calm. Do not strike. The number one enemy of progress is questions. Withholding information is more important than knowing the truth. All obedience to elected leaders and management will proceed as normal. No union member may post on Facebook without permission from the union office. Read only the information given by your elected leaders. Shut up! Obey all orders without question. The contract we give you will be ratified. Be happy! At last, everything is done for you.
Ooh. Good morning. Good afternoon. This is the Chicago Area Transit Worker Radio Show. We thank you so much for listening. The topic for today is the Hour of Power protest that occurred just a few days ago. Was it a failure or was it a success? Well, it depends on who you talk to. In 308 and Local 241, the biggest criticisms were there weren't enough people. And the homemade picket signs. Not quite sure that qualifies as a failure, but it certainly could be a step of towards improvement. We got some callers. Our phone number is 515-605-9885. I'm going to bring in some of the callers here, and we're going to get we're going to have a little group discussion here, a little forum. Was the Hour of Power a failure or a success? We have a caller with the last four digits of 3823. See if you're in there.
That's me. You want me to say my name?
Is this? Well, you don't have to say your name if you don't want to, brother, but I think I know who you are.
This is Dondre Thompson from 103rd. Was part of the rally and part of the sign mission.
Yes.
Welcome, brother.
We got another caller, last four digits 6257. Let's bring you in right here. Go ahead, caller with 6257.
Well, good afternoon. It's Kathy. I was at the rally.
Oh,
good afternoon,
Kathy and Andre.
Hey, good afternoon.
Thanks for calling, you two. Thanks for being on the show.
Glad you have it.
You know, I'm kind of old-fashioned. I say ladies first. Sister Kathy, the hour of power, failure or success, why and why not?
Well, I think it was a success because it was the second one in a row, so there's some consistency. There were people noticed us, and there were people there. And it was inspiring, and people are talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What, Kathy? What could have been better? For the next one? What could be better? What would make it better, in your opinion?
Well, maybe we could have more people speak on the bullhorn. If they wanted to, and that noise, the traffic was difficult for me. It was difficult for me to hear what was going on, but those are two things that come to mind.
Great. So Andre, Brother Andre, you're one of the co-organizers with Kathy and myself. Was the hour of power a failure or a success? Why or why not?
Well, I feel like it was a success because I agree with Kathy on what she said. It's the second one, and it was visible to a lot of the public, visible to a lot of the employees. A lot of people was asking me about it after I left, and a lot of operators were saying the public was asking them about it. So I think it was a good effort. It was more people than the first one. So when people say it wasn't enough people, you got to start from somewhere. And, you know, you build, get more information out. And as far as the signs that you said in the beginning of your program, it's always signs that's homemade at every rally, so I don't know who criticized something of that nature, but, you know, a sign is something that somebody make of what they feel is going on in their issues, you know? And there's a lot of issues going on with Local 241 and Local 308. So,
you know, and it's, you know, I've seen some other, you know, protests and rallies, and they got real fancy signs, you know, professionally printed signs, and they say things like they're very vague. They're like one ATU and I am a man, stuff like this. And when people see that, I always wonder, do the public, people in the public really know what that means when they see one ATU? I would think, if I had no idea what ATU was, I would think, well, this must be a religious cult calling for one Atu, like their god is Atu or something.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of silly. One ATU. What does that mean, one ATU? What, you know, it, so a homemade sign is actually, I think, in my opinion, that's better than a corporate fancy, you know, printed sign, because it's in the person's handwriting and it's theirs, it's their idea, their thought, right? Their creation.
Yeah. And it deals with the immediate issue that the member has that he's dealing with or that he sees in the organization. So there's a lot of different thoughts going on at 95th on that day. And it was a lot of background noise. So the science took over and did what it had to do. I think it was great. A lot of members are still talking about it. A lot of people congratulated on us. Said, hey, y'all did good. So we, and it's like Kathy said, it brought notice to the attention of the issues that we're dealing with as transit workers.
Yeah, let me just throw
and it put the CTA on notice that we're doing something. It put the failing corrupt union officials on notice that we're doing something. You know, they not doing nothing. So, you know, who can hate? Who can get mad? You know, they should have got out there with us. That's my opinion.
Right. And the people who criticize the signs are missing the point. It's not about, it's the message, like what Andre said. It's the message. And I think you might have said that too, Eric. So the people who are criticizing the signs are grasping at straws. Well, we want to talk about the message, not how the signs look or if something was misspelled. You know, so what? It's the message.
Yeah.
That's what counts.
It's funny
something that's homemade is better than something that's corporated made. It's always better homemade. It tastes better. So that was homemade down earth rally from down earth workers who believe in we need to do something, and we appreciate you guys that showed up.
Yeah, it was nice and you know, Brother Andre, we thank you for buying those blank signs and setting up so that people who just show up without a sign, they could make a sign. They made signs right there on the spot with them. You had the big fat marker and everything.
Yep. So you said people should be able to say what they want to say, and I agree with that 100%.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Sorry. I was going to say, I also think another inspiring fact is how you two have been going to terminals and bus garages to build for this rally. So even though, you know, not a whole lot of co-workers came, but a whole lot of people knew about it because you have been going out there letting people know.
Yes, they do. Yeah, a lot of people was asking about it, and I think they want – a lot of people was thinking, asking, okay, so did the results show up for the effort? And I said, we got to keep banging the things, the issues that we have out there on those signs so we can keep these keep this out in the forefront. So the union officials, when they do decide to get with the CTA, maybe they'll act on some of these issues, or maybe they'll ask us to work with them on the issues that we feel that we have as union workers in Local 241 and Local 308.
You know, what
would it be about more than just one union? Go ahead, Eric.
Yes, it has to be. It has to be. You're right. You're absolutely right. One thing that was brought up was that a couple of things. One of them was this was not an official protest from the official union office. And it was not approved by official union officers. It was rogue. What do you think of that? Was it? Was this a rogue venture? Did we violate the law and the bylaws and did we sin and commit a great crime against our union and the CTA by doing this?
Well,
either one of you. Either one of you.
Okay,
no,
I just had to step away for a second.
Go ahead.
Andre, you want me to repeat what I
said? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, you want me to repeat it, Andre?
Yeah, repeat it, sir.
So one thing we're hearing, Kathy and Andre, is that this was not an officially approved union protest from the official union office, and we were violating rules and laws and offending and disrespecting our leadership because they did not approve it. What do you think of that, Andre?
I don't understand that not approved. The membership is the union, so we approved it, you know. We approved what we're going to do as union members, so we don't need permission. We were using our rights and using our...
No, they're saying you have to be at a union meeting and get it approved at a union meeting. And if you don't, you're out of line.
They
disrespecting
if
the
they
chain
say
of
that,
command.
Then they're wrong. There's no right and said it. You can have a rally, but you must have it through a union meeting. You can have a rally with one person if you decide you want to rally about something. So that's where we at. We good. They need to go to the website, Chicago Transit Worker, and look at the Bill of Rights of members, and then they'll know we was in our right.
That's right.
And
I
guess we was in our
right
because there's no retaliation from the CTA as we danced on their property. Nobody said you got a violation coming or nothing. Matter of fact, the union person didn't even say nothing to me the day after. So that was the end of that. They were just trying to use a lot of tactics to scare the members to not attend. And a lot of it did work, but a lot of it kept the curiosity of those members. A lot of members wanted to attend.
Mm-hmm. Kathy, what do you think of that statement that this is unofficial and unapproved?
Well, I think it's unintelligent for somebody to say that.
Agreed.
Because like Andre said, we don't need their approval. We don't need their approval. And I know people are going to hate to hear this, some people. But the two strikes we've had in our lifetimes in 68 and 79, those were wildcat strikes. The union is not going to approve a real rally with real demand.
Right.
They're not going to do it. They're just not going to do it. And the first thing I thought of was... Go ahead.
Go ahead, Catherine. No. I was about to say, in the one rally that they did have under Keith Hill for the fourth year after being in office for 4 years, he had a rally that was sponsored by the CTA, and then he went out there downtown with the members and bussed them on CTA buses and paid the CTA paid the board members to drive the workers down there. They didn't even talk about the CTA, anything against the CTA. They didn't talk about the mayor. Mm-hmm. They didn't talk about the vice president, the president, Dorval Cotter. They talked about somebody who don't even run the CTA. So it was just a fake rally, you know, and it was at a fake a fake place. It was off site. Yeah.
Right.
So
right.
It's just crazy. People have this thing where they say, "Oh, you can't strike, you can't do this." People don't understand. You can do anything that you want. It might not be legal, but you can do it if you want to strike. If a member, and that's what I call it, would be called a wildcat strike, but it still was a strike. And
right.
We have strike clauses in our Constitution, so there's no such thing as you can't strike. We can. It's all kinds of ways you can strike. It's all kinds of ways you can lead up to a strike. And protesting is the first step, in my opinion.
Yeah.
What do you
so
think?
That's
Kathy?
It on that.
What do you think? Is Andre? Do you agree with Andre? Is he correct?
Oh, I think so. I think so. It's disheartening when people keep saying that stuff. You can't do this and you can't do that and you broke the rules and your sign was wrong. It's just BS. It's really a bunch of BS. And I think that as far as the question, did you accomplish anything or what are you trying to accomplish? For me, I think what we're really trying to accomplish is to get more people involved in standing up and taking some action and acting like a union. That's what I think our goal should be.
So let me ask you a good question. Oh, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Finish your point, Kathy. Go ahead.
Well, then when we get enough people, we can force the union to do something.
Yes.
That's it.
That's key. That's the key.
I really don't think getting enough people is necessary. I think that if you keep doing something, it'll force the union. Because to get enough people, like Well, when you say get enough people, I think you can get enough people if they even don't attend. If you get enough people to support the issues, that will deal with the union, to have the union officials deal with the issues that people, enough people support. And a lot of those issues, a lot of, I'd say 90% of the people are always bringing up hazard pay because they're working in this dangerous environment on the bus in the pandemic. So, you know, a lot of the members support that thought process. And to the members of Local 241, you're working in dangerous conditions every day. Don't feel like you shouldn't feel bad to demand hazard pay. Don't let nobody trick you and say, well, you got to go through this way, or we got to wait to the Congress or not. You have a right to bring it up. Whoever pays, let them deal with it. But as members, you have a right to bring it up because you're working in dangerous conditions every day. So continue to bring it up, and don't worry about who pays. Just keep on demanding it.
You're right.
Yep. So that was my opinion on that.
Yes, yes, yes. And we do have these rights. Now let me ask you too this question. Do we... As some of the organizers, the co-organizers, we have other organizers too that aren't on the call, but does a protest have to be organized by us, by our group? Can it be organized by anybody, any other group at a shop or a garage or a terminal?
All the members have the same right that we had, that we took upon ourselves. So if another member or a group of members decide to organize something, as long as they do it on the off time, they can organize. They can have a protest, even if it's just standing around, or let's not eat in the training room today. Let's go in the parking lot and eat. You know, so they have a right to pass out messages amongst each other in a break room and in the parking lot and on their off time. So they can do that because that's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and as a matter of fact, before the last contract, some shop personnel from 308, they had a rally at Harlem and Lake on that same corner where the Dunkin' Donuts is, or it used to be a Dunkin' Donuts, and they had signs, and it was about increasing pay. It had something to do with how Amazon workers were getting – oh, Jeff Bezos was going to be getting a bunch of money from the city. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so they were saying how we need money. So where's our money? So that was that. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what else it was, but
So Andre and Kathy, we always hear, well, everybody's gotta be united and everybody's gotta be on the same page and it's everyone in or it's not gonna work. And so if one group is having a protest over here, another group is having a protest over there, does that mean we're not united? Does that mean it's not going to work?
No, that don't mean it's not going to work. That means it's a start to working. And this that means it's the message that's going to get out. We're getting the message out. And I believe it works. Whatever one person do, it works. As long as they're doing something. You know, one person can lead to a group of people. So that's why I met with that one.
Yep.
Hey, what do you think, Kathy?
Wait, Andre, were you still talking?
Yeah, I need to step away for like 5 minutes. I'll be right back. All right.
Okay.
Just put your do me a favor. Put your phone on mute. Put your phone on mute.
No, I got to cut you guys off and then call back.
Okay, make sure
okay.
you do so
do
before about 5 minutes because the call-in time is going to get cut off in 5 minutes.
Okay. All right, cool.
Okay, thank you. So Kathy, what do you think about my question?
Well, people say that a lot. Oh, we're not united. We're not united. We're not united. Because there is a lot of disagreement. But one thing we are united on, we keep on voting for sellout contracts. We don't read the contract. We don't go to the union meetings. So there's unity. There's unity to defend sellout leadership. So there's that. But the people who want to fight back, we have to build unity through actions and through debates and discussions. There's unity. It's just that people are a little fearful, I think, to take action.
And you know, it's interesting you say that because I had so many coworkers Andre and I were talking to and that would talk to me, you know, when I was at work. They would say things. And they're like, I like what you're doing, but, you know, I'm worried about my job. I need to focus on my family. I'm afraid the union is going to get mad at me. I have to be careful associating with what you're doing and this and that. And it never upset me. I understood completely, you know, because I've been in their shoes. But I did get a lot of that, a lot of fear. There's so much fear. And one even told me, you can't even say the word protest. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So, you know, he was concerned about strike. And I said, look, this is not a strike. All right, it's a protest. But you better be careful because they're going to come after you. Okay, all right. You know, but mm-hmm. How? You know. What do you think of that? It just seems like I got the impression that people were standing around. They were curious to see, okay, was I going to be able to come back to work without being fired?
Wow. Well, people are fearful. And, I mean, the CTU had a big strike, a couple of them. But there haven't been that many strikes in the last few decades, at least big strikes.
Yeah.
And so people maybe they just don't know. But that's another reason this has been successful then, because nobody got fired for this rally.
Yep.
And
yep.
We keep doing them. And it's bringing out questions and fears, concerns that people have. And as time goes on, we're going to be proven correct about a lot of stuff. So that'll help.
Yes. And by the way, if anyone wants to call in, we just got a couple minutes of the call-in segment, 515-605-9885. We got, I think that's Andre back online. Let's see. I'm going to click him in here. Maybe not. He disappeared. Okay. So We pretty much debunked the argument that you know, it seems like some people rely on personal attacks, right? Like trifling things, like your sign had a misspelling or they're homemade or there's only, you know, 12 people or whatever. But we pretty much dispelled that in that it's not us from doing what we're
right.
doing, and it shouldn't stop anyone else from doing what they're doing, right?
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So just so people who are listening live, the show's going to end, the live segment is going to end in about a minute. Thanks a lot for listening. We're going to stay on we're going to have like another 10 to 12 minutes for some extra bonus content. And when the on-demand is ready, you'll be able to listen to the whole show, including the part that wasn't live. So thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to Kathy and Andre. Stay on. Please don't hang up for
okay.
calling in. They're a major part of the Justice Coalition organizing posse. And we definitely go to ChicagoTransitWorker.com. We plan to do our next action at Howard sometime after the pick, so it should be in early spring. And stay updated with us on Facebook. We also got a new Twitter account. We're just making stuff happen, and we're trying to be a good example of accountability and militancy and union democracy. Thanks again for listening to the show.
All right, great show.
All right, you two. All right, so how about we got like, it says we got 14 minutes of extra time. So how about you two share some thoughts, share some ideas, some whatever's on your mind.
Well, I got a question, though. Since the rally for you, what kind of feedback, Eric, have you been getting from the workers on the L or any union officials? Have they been talking to you, or they won't talk to you, or they want to ridicule you? What's been happening with you?
So I went to Howard. I went to the operations, you know, where the operators are, break room,
mm-hmm.
and generally they were supportive. The union officer and the ex-union officer that I encountered did not want to talk to me at all. I did greet them, of course, politely, as I always do, but they usually – one of them likes to curse me out. So in this case, she didn't say anything, so I thought that was interesting.
Well, she can't keep cussing you out forever, Eric. That won't wash well with the members in her position as a union official, cussing the member out that's taking the stand.
Yes.
I guess
yes.
You have to change that strategy.
There's another union officer who has actually threatened me online, not specifically about the protest, but he's obviously upset about it and had said that if I cause any more trouble at the union meetings, he's going to make sure I get kicked out. So, and of course, the trouble that I cause typically is no worse than, you know, laughing at something stupid that the officers say or, you know, bringing up motions that they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So, but generally, though, members have been, you know, it's interesting. You know, they're starting to be kind of, you see the excitement in their eye when we talk, you know, so you could see that there's something welling up in them that they want to step out. They want to speak out. So, and they're saying, well, that's good. I'm glad the protest went good. You know, they're like, yeah, that's good. Those kind of things are really positive.
Mm-hmm. Great. Great. Kathy?
Yeah. Well, and also, too, for the people who say it wasn't successful, what we're doing, you know, you could call it agitation. We're out there trying to stir some stuff up and get people to think and to talk and to question and have debates. So it's successful.
Go ahead.
A lot of the drivers have been curious about it after it was done.
Yeah.
You know, and they thought it was a good thing. Nobody really said nothing negative in a sense, you know. They all been in the support and they wish they could have been there, some said.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Make it next time, you know. So,
yeah. There were some that got off work. Weren't there some that got off work and they wanted to pose in pictures with us or something like that?
Oh yeah, yeah, yep,
yeah.
Yeah.
And of course,
hey, wait a minute, you guys.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, Andre, remember when Marcus was still alive and we had that rather large picket line, there was a couple of demonstrations at bus garages that had something to do with janitors and bus cleaners, I think. And there was a real nice picket line. And nobody got fired around that. And actually, that guy ended up getting fired, that manager, didn't he? I can't remember his name. Corelli or something like that.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were talking about the ticket line at 77.
Not that one.
Okay.
It was that kid.
Yeah, and I think the union rep at that one supported that.
The
president of the local wasn't there, but I think their rep didn't have a problem with the people doing that.
Yeah, I think you're
okay.
Right.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. What is it about a union rep, you know, at 241 and 308 that has this idea, like, this is their terminal or this is their garage, and what are you doing here, and, you know, you're causing trouble. What is that? What is that
Blue
about?
Blue Union Rep has bought a CTA property. That's control. That's fear, like you said earlier. That's trying to be controlling and trying to strike fear into people that's standing up and trying to make sure nobody else stand up behind what we're doing.
Right.
So that's it on that.
I remember. I remember one union rep at one garage just totally lost his cool and was screaming at us, literally.
Yeah.
To get out, you know. It was really funny. And then he pointed me out and said, "Look at that rail guy. It's because of him that bus operators can't use the bathroom at train stations." Ah!
Yeah, that was funny. He's a special tyrant. Very special tyrant. He all about controlling those people at that garage.
They say don't, you know, like people can't take our flyers, and we're sitting there like, how can you tell adults what not to take?
Mm-hmm.
And some of them didn't take it because they were so terrified of the way he was talking to them, and it shows you that they have been over the years maintaining some level of control over some of these members. Some of these members got to stop being afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they got to go to the website and learn their rights and get involved.
Yeah. The Know Your Rights button at ChicagoTransitWorker.com.
Yes.
So if I think of strategy, another major thing is Local 241 still does not have membership meetings. So now, as of March, the last union meeting at Local 241 was last March. So it's going to be almost a year. And we held a protest. Our first hour of power was at the 241 office, and demanding that our unions, 241 and 308, hold virtual mass membership meetings. Well, nothing's happened of that. What are we going to do about this? Because this seems to be a problem, a big problem.
So you got to put it on.
What can members do about it?
Put it on a sign. The members need to write the international. They need to demand from the union executive board to stop voting to not have union meetings.
But doesn't Keith Hill have some kind of informational union meeting for the people on his page? Is that true?
Yeah, he does. But that's
how many
not
people
that's
go?
Not that's not. I don't know. We locked out. But that's not for the membership. In other words, that's for the membership is a whole membership. You can't decide I'm gonna serve half the members. All the members pay. So what he's doing is unethical.
Right.
And it's just immoral for dues paying members to have to experience such a person doing such a thing and locking members out of information.
Yeah. Right.
Then
now,
he had this one after our rally at the union office. He had one informational meeting where everybody could lock in, load in if they wanted to. But that's still unethical because the members are paying and they still can't have control of their money. So we got to try to work on trying to change that.
Yeah, and control the money. That's all that the union cares about, if you ask me. Eric had an informational meeting for 308.
You're talking about President Eric Dixon? You're talking about President Eric Dixon, right? Yep.
Yeah, President Eric Dixon. Which I thought was a good thing. I mean, that's more than Ken did, right? But only 19 people came to the meeting. And I don't know how many of them were the officers. And in any case, it was all their friends who came, I think. But so that kind of bothers some to me. People
so
aren't
what
interested.
Do you think about your top official getting the vaccine shot and backing politicians and the mayor and the governor and so many of our workers?
Yeah.
Still unprotected.
Wow.
They
right.
jump first
wow,
in
wow,
line.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. No,
yeah,
no surprise
our secretary
there.
Yeah, our secretary posted photos of it, too, yeah, and said she thanks Mayor Lightfoot, Governor Pritzker, and
yeah.
and the top officers at in the CTA administration. So
hey.
She thanks them. She thanks them for the vaccine. But
and
they
how many vaccines?
Let us die and get sick.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right. How many vaccines do they have, though? Do you know?
I don't know. When I read it, maybe it changed. This was like 1,000. But when I tried to make an appointment, every appointment was filled. But the union
right.
officials can jump right in front of all the members and not be concerned about who the members that didn't. They're not concerned about the members that didn't get a shot.
Right.
If that's what it seems to me when you got a union member jumping in line and boast about it and your workers. The people you serve still don't have them. They pay your salary. They still don't have
right.
a job. It's just crazy to me.
Yeah. Well, you
wow.
know, Eric said,
wow.
he
it,
said
it is terrible.
Yeah. He said there was 1,000 vaccines for 5 days. So I don't know if that meant 1,000 vaccines every 5 days. But in any case, it's not enough for all the members. So then
no,
what's
going to
happen next? Right.
Well, what's going to happen?
And there's so much. Yeah, and there's so much lack of distrust. And then I didn't even think about that, how the union officers are like, yep, I'm getting my shot. You know, and I would think, well, if I wanted to get a shot and I was an officer, I would make sure that all the members got their shot first.
Right,
yep.
And if they were smart, that's what they would have said. Yeah.
Yeah.
At least make sure your
members
don't want it. The people at your direct garage, make sure they all get shots. You know.
Yeah. If they want it, they should be able to get it before I would.
Yep.
You know. So we got a minute left. How about you two take a 30-second, whatever you want to say. Go for it, Kathy.
Hey, I just want to say, again, I want to reiterate that I think, Eric and Andre, that you guys are really doing a good job. You're what leaders really are, not the clowns who are collecting the big paychecks.
I appreciate you, Kathy. I want to say that all the members need to get involved in Local 241, Local 308. They need to start reading their constitution and bylaws that govern the union. They don't supposed to be going outside these parameters, and when they do, you'll be able to understand that they are and make the proper complaints and get involved and keep speaking up. You know, you pay these people really big salaries. They're supposed to serve you, not oversee you like they own you. No, that's not the case. So that's all I have to say. Get involved.
Well, thank you, Kathy, for your honor. And those who lead serve, and those who serve lead. And if we serve each other, we all become the leader. And that's what a union is. That's revolutionary unionism, not business unionism. And that's what we're striving to help make happen so we can make our union strong. Brother Andre, Sister Kathy, thank you so much for being a guest host on this analysis. I'd have to say our power was a success. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.